This is Audible.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Penguin Random House Audio presents Star Wars Phasma by Delilah S. Dawson. Read for you by January Lavoie. One. In the unknown regions. There's something comforting about hyperspace. Running to or from trouble, it's always the same. Steady, beautiful, soothing, even for spies carrying highly sensitive intel that plenty of people would kill to possess. As the stars zip by, and Vi Marotti settles into her pilot's chair, she sighs and pulls a bag from the floor. She's been working on this lumpy mess on and off for weeks, knitting the thick, soft yarn into a sweater for her older brother, Baako, a dignitary recently stationed on Pantora, of all places. She's not very good at knitting, but it's relaxing, and Baako always told her she needed to spend less time gallivanting around and more time creating something worthwhile. Of course, she had to use her gallivanting contacts to obtain this highly coveted but not quite illegal hippoglace yarn. Hopefully, the warmth and brilliant azure hue will hide all her dropped stitches. Since she must hide her work with the Resistance from him, Baako still thinks of her as his mischievous, unfocused dilettante of a little sister. Little does he know. Her comm blinks and she sees who's calling and grins at Baako's uncanny way of knowing exactly when she can't talk. Not only because she's elbows deep in a lumpy sweater, but also because she's on official gallivanting business that he wouldn't approve of and can't know about. Much as she could use a friendly chat to warm her heart after the chill of this assignment, the general is expecting her to check in soon. "Sorry, brother," she says, flicking the button to shuttle his call to her busy message. "You can tell me all about the new job and lecture me about my lack of focus once I'm done with this mission and giving you this sweater in person. But you'd better meet me somewhere civilized and comfortable because I'm done with impossible environments." The comm goes still, and she feels a small pang of guilt for ignoring him. Most ships can't even handle communications at this range, but the Resistance does have some wonderful toys. Vi puts her boots up and leans back in her seat, focusing on the unwieldy wooden knitting needles that look more like primitive weapons than elegant tools. "It's all about forward momentum, Gigi," she says to her astromech, U5GG. "Better a hideous sweater infused with love than, I don't know. What other gifts do people give their only living relative? A nice chrono? I shall continue to the end, if imperfectly." She spins in her chair and holds up what she's accomplished so far. "What do you think?" Gigi beeps and boops in what sounds like apologetic disappointment. "You be nice or I'll make one for you. A droid cozy to clash with your paint job." The droid gives a cheerful whistle and turns around as if desperately interested in the hyperspace swirls darting around them. When the Resistance assigned her the droid, Gigi was the factory colors, white and blue. But Vi painted her new friend yellow and copper to match her own bleached yellow hair and burnished brown skin. Vi turns back around and knits furiously. Her hair is cropped short just now. The last time her image popped up on a wanted list, the long red braids had been far too noticeable, so she'd hacked them off immediately and ejected them into space. Wiry and petite, she's had a hard time finding Resistance uniform pieces that fit her well. The cobbled-together costume she wears now has been altered and shows its long wear in rips, scuffs, and patches. Even the soles of her boots are torn to shreds. Her current assignment has involved some very physical work in a terribly unpleasant place, and she's looking forward to a few days of rest on Dakar. Hyperspace lulls her to sleep, and Vi manages a short nap tangled in thick, soft yarn before Gigi beeps and whirs to let her know they've nearly reached their destination. She sits up and stretches as much as the cockpit will allow, wishing the Resistance had provided her with a roomier ship, but knowing that for ships, much like for herself, being small and unassuming often means avoiding detection. The ship emerges from hyperspace to float gently in the middle of nowhere, exactly according to plan. Taking a deep breath, she puts her knitting away and types a long code into her comm. The answer is immediate and, as always, mysterious. They never say more until she's confirmed her identity.
Copy.
Starling reporting to General Organa.
A familiar voice replies, warm but professional.
Welcome back, Starling. What have you got for us?
Ah, General. It's always business first, isn't it?
When the galaxy is on the line, I have a way of skipping past the formalities of my youth. Let's hear your report.
Vi can hear Leia's smirk and likes her the better for it. No wonder they get along.
Finally found the missing piece of the puzzle, although I had to hunt around.
Rough place.
Everything is rough in the unknown regions. So you have what we need?
Vi shrugs.
Knowing how monsters became monsters doesn't always help destroy the monsters.
Sometimes it does. Every weapon in our armory has a use, Starling. Now I know you're due for some time off, but I've got one more set of coordinates, and you're already in the right corner of the galaxy to drop by. Can I count on you?
Vi looks down at the blue yarn spilling from her bag. She hates putting off time with Baako. They see each other so rarely these days.
Of course, General. That's why I'm here.
Transmitting coordinates.
On her screen, Vi plots the best route to the General's next stop. Leia wasn't lying. She's already pretty close, and not many pilots have the experience or the guts to explore this shadowy corner of nowhere. She confirms the route and lets Gigi plot the jump.
Not too bad. I'll be there shortly.
Good. Just a quick sweep of the area. We've heard rumors of First Order ships there, and it's vital that we know if they're true. If you see anything, be ready to jump. We've had several pilots go missing.
Bet they weren't as fast as I am.
Leia sighs, sounding every year of her age.
It's not necessarily about speed, but if they come back, you can race them in the Five Sabers. I'll buy you a ship. For now, just a quick sweep and then home. I need those reports.
Aye, aye, General.
Vi salutes, wishing they had visual.
About to enter hyperspace. Keep safe, General Organa.
You too, Starling.
The line cuts off. The Starhopper zooms into hyperspace. It's a short trip, not relaxing at all, and she doesn't bother picking up her knitting again. She's jittery now. It's been too long since she's slept. And then they're dropping out of hyperspace again. The long lines of stars judder into pinpoints against a sea of black. Vi's eyes adjust, and she mutters a curse. There should be nothing here, just peaceful darkness and twinkling lights. Unfortunately, there's rather a large something. A resurgent-class Star Destroyer. Leia was right. The First Order is here, big time. Even before she can think the words, her fingers are already typing in new coordinates.
Come on, Gigi, she mutters. We've got to get out of here. I hate it when the General is right.
For all her speed, she's not surprised when her Starhopper quavers and begins to move. Not forward, like it should, but sideways toward the enemy ship. Whatever new tech they've been cooking up while hidden out here is hard, fast, and implacable.
Vi tries every trick in her book, but the Starhopper can't break free of the tractor beam.
Her firepower is minimal, and she knows they could blow her to smithereens and call it a win.
As Gigi squeaks and burbles frantically,
Vi considers her options. I know. She locks her data pad, encrypts it, and jettisons it into the darkness of space, along with her patched resistance jacket. The chance of her returning to claim either item is infinitesimal, but every little bit of hope adds up. Reaching into a storage cubby, she tugs out an old black leather jacket she pulled off a dead Kanja clubber and slips her arms inside. It smells of oil and sand and home, and it did her good on her last mission. Her ship eases ever closer to the cruiser, and she pulls out a small mirror and plucks dark brown contacts from her eyes, revealing their natural amber hue. What with the hair, eyes, clothes, and fake documents in her front pocket, there's a good chance she won't be recognized. When Gigi beeps an alarm, Vi settles and taps her temple. Don't worry, Gigi. I've got it all where it counts. And they won't break me. Gigi makes a noise that suggests the odds are against such an occurrence. It's okay, little buddy. If I fail, you'll never know. Swiveling around in her chair, she keys a code into the astromech slot and wipes the droid's memory. Her earlier comfort and insouciant slouch are gone. This is not the first time she's been captured, and she's got to get her head in the game. She leans back in her chair now, legs spread, arms on the seat's armrests. Every muscle is tense, one foot tapping by the bag of forgotten yarn. Her eyes flash dangerously, her lips set in a thin line. One way or another, Vi Maraudi is going to survive.